Hey, did you know most of your business to be based on referrals, whether you're an entrepreneur, a salesperson, corporate America, that's how it's done. We're going to get into that and how to use humor. Does humor work? Why is it so persuasive? And it even increases trust. Let's do it.
Maximize your influence. Kurt Mortensen is the author of Persuasion IQ, Laws of Charisma, and the best-selling book, Maximum Influence.
All right, podcast 508, Kurt Mortensen here. Welcome back to Maximize Your Influence. We can be found on Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. And all the other ones if you're using one of those. So tell your family, friends, and enemies about the podcast, things you should have learned in school. We're going to geek out on the science today, get you some tools to help you out, and talk about humor. And let's just start it off. Let's kick it off with the persuasion blunder of the week.
Don't.
So, nice old couple selling their house. They figure out what a fair price is, and that's what they're leading with. And a lot of people are backing out. People are trying to get lower. It's making them upset. So they're either saying, I'll take it and backing out, or they're trying to keep them go lower and lower and lower, and it's upsetting them because that's a fair price. And I get it. I understand a lot of people don't play the game, especially people in North America, United States. Oh, I don't want to play the game. Let me just say, in negotiation, when there's two persuaders, two people trying to get a good deal, if you don't play the game, you're going to lose the game. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. This is the game around the world. It's called negotiation. And Americans are terrible negotiators. Why? Because we've been taught, oh, there's the price. Here you go, and you pay it. No, to most places in the world, that's the starting point of the negotiation. A lot of times, Americans especially aren't very patient. They got to get it done. Get it done right away. Don't waste any time. Hey, that's wasting time because you're not getting the deal. Slow is fast. A lot of cultures, you're not talking business. You got to get to know each other a little bit at a time. And that's how the brain works. It's easier for the brain to do that. Persuading the brain a little bit at a time than a lot bit at a time is easier. It's called sequential request. This is what people do. They book that 8-hour all day. Let's hammer it out, get it done. It's easier to persuade people in 10 30-minute meetings than one big meeting. It's how the brain is, it's how it works. Slow is fast. So I'm saying, doesn't matter how you feel about the game, you got to play the game, because if you don't play the game, you're going to lose the game, which means if you're selling your house, you got to pick the biggest price point, that starting point, that anchor for them. That's not insulting. That's realistic. That has comparables in the area. Give yourself some wiggle room. Know when you're going to walk. And it might happen in two or three meetings, two or three visits, or even more. That is the game. And it wasn't that they're being mean people. They're trying to be nice. No, here's the best offer. This is what we're going to do. But people weren't used to that. Even on the reverse side, if you're buying the house, and that's fair. They're like, okay, I'll take it. They're like, whoa, they didn't play the game. And now the seller is going to back out. So play the game. It goes back to the old fable, the tortoise and the hare. You know this one. If not, look it up. The tortoise is racing the rabbit, the hare. You're like, really? But the tortoise won because the hare, oh, I'm ahead. I'm taking a nap. Got on a tangent. Fell asleep. Well, the tortoise won the day, played the game, won the race. And the rest is history. I guess it's not really history because it never really happened, but it's a great story. Time for a weekly geeky scholarly article. Brought to us by Current Directions in Psychological Science. Dr. Baumeister from Florida State University in the Journal of Business Psychology, The Energizing Effect of Humor. Now, two of the psychological scientists in the study, David Chang and Liu Wang of the University of South Wales, that the people who watched a funny video clip spent twice as long on a hard, tedious task compared to people who watched neutral or positive, but not funny videos. They wrote the exposure to humor may increase the effectiveness of employees. That humor can facilitate recovery from stressful situations, reduces stress at work, boosts morale, and increases productivity. Now here's an interesting piece. This mental break, this humor, this laughter, could prevent work-related depletion. Might also facilitate the replenishment of mental resources, letting people work longer, persist longer on difficult tasks. So as predicted, students who watched the humorous clip, this was of Mr. Bean, if you've ever seen those movies, spent significantly more time working on the task and made twice as many predictions than the other two groups. Again, the students were asked to do a persistent task. Pretty much was an unwinnable game. Therefore, people who reported high levels of amusement after watching a humorous video clip were more likely to show increased persistence. So the takeaway is that humor is not only fun and enjoyable, but energizing and gives the brain a mental break. In fact, when I was researching laws of charisma, that was one of the pieces of being a charismatic person, was your sense of humor. Humor increased trust in the audience, people like you more, and there is a direct correlation between great leaders and their sense of humor. And even better than that, people are less likely to disagree with you when you use humor. I mean, we can go on and on and on. People are more open with their feelings, it reduces stress and fear, they're happy with their life, it increases their self-esteem, they're friendlier, enhances the relationship. And now more than ever, the world needs a little something-something, a smile, a laugh. Better at it. Take an improv class, create a joke list, create a list of funny little clips you can use in a presentation. I'm telling you, it'll make a big, big difference. Which brings us to our listener email.
Oh boy!
This is Harold from Philadelphia. It says, Kurt, how do you suggest I get more referrals? I chose this one because I did another training this week on how to get unlimited referrals. So we're going to cut right to that because most of your business should be based on referrals. Dun & Bradstreet, they do a lot of research on businesses. This is the best marketing ever because when you have a referral, there's very little resistance. When a friend says, hey, use them, they're awesome. Again, that's easy business, that's an easy customer, that's an easy client, that's an easy sell. So most of your business should be through referrals. It doesn't matter if you're just starting, if you've been in business for a while, you can leverage the things we're going to be talking about today to get the referrals. You want to double, triple your business. You want to get customers and clients that aren't going to resist you, that aren't going to say no. It's simple. Just think about it. When a friend says, hey, go to this movie, go to this restaurant, buy this product, this is awesome, you're like, okay, for the most part, assuming it's a good friend. I mean, some friends are like, yeah, I don't know. But for the most part, if a friend, if someone refers you a referral, it changes the game. And that's what we work on. We're talking about 10 things you can do to increase your referrals. Because do you really want to talk to a stranger? Do you really want to do the cold marketing, as they call it? Sure, you need to. That should be part of what we call your marketing mix. You should be working on your cold marketing. You should be working on your warm marketing. Those are the people that maybe have heard of you, that you've been around. And there's the hot marketing. That's referrals. People that say, yes, do business with them. They're awesome. No resistance. Sales persuasion is easy. Number one, just ask. How simple is that? Just ask. Get it in your mind. You ask. Most people are afraid to ask. They don't even think about asking. Just ask. We did business together. I exceeded your expectations. We did this and this. Are you willing to refer 2, 3, 4 other people to me? And that's one of the keys when you ask, is ask them for 3, 4, 5. They might give you 1 or 2, but just ask. Put it into your toolbox that you're going to ask no matter what, no matter what goes on, because everybody they know can do business with you. And it's simple. They know people with the same problems that they have, the same challenges that they have, and you're solving those. So just learn to ask. Program your brain. Step up. Be confident. It's part of the sales process. Just ask them for business. Ask them for referrals. Just say, look, I do business based on referrals. Can you recommend 3 or 4 others that'd be interested in doing that? And then have them send an email to call them, to refer you, to introduce you. The more steps you could take there, the better. Now, it doesn't guarantee they're going to introduce you. They might just give you the number. You can drop their name. That's good, but not as good as them dragging you along. Hey, do business with them. So whatever you do is ask, and then ask them to introduce you, to recommend you, to send an email, to send a text, whatever it is, or get permission to drop their name. This is gold. This is how referrals are done. Number two, this is what I consider one of the 12 laws of persuasion, is expectations. Just expect it from them. Let them know up front. Hey, I do business on referrals. When I exceed your expectations, when I solve your problem, when I change your life, can you refer a couple people? And get the yes ahead of time. So you're asking up front, you're expecting the referral. Just expect it. Let them know up front. This is how you do business. You do business on referrals. And then just like step number one, ask them. Number three, who knows who? The average person knows 250 people. Think about it. Now, at first we're in denial stage. Yeah, I don't think so. But if you think about your life, who you know, casual contacts, members of your family, people you're doing business with, people know people, and they can refer two or three people that can help you out. So you can help them understand, all right, who do you know that does this, that has this challenge, that has this problem? They might just knee-jerk reaction, say, I don't know. Well, let's talk about it. Who do you know that does this or is in this business, who's having this challenge, who has kids this age? The more you get to know people, the more you can help them out. And remember, too, when they do give you a referral, be very grateful, be very thankful. That's part of it, too. Get to know your customers. The more you get to know them, the better. Who do they know that can do business with you? So when they do say, well, I don't know anybody, say, all right, well, let me ask you a few more questions. Is that okay? Well, sure. Who do you know that has this problem, this issue, does this, does that, knows this, has this problem? Then you can kind of trigger things in their mind. Because even though they'll deny it and you deny it, we all know about 250 people. Number four, similar to number two, let them know it's the norm, it's the standard, that's what you do, that they will be giving you referrals. And that's an important piece of what you want to do. So it's the norm, it's what you do, just like the expectations up front, you let them know maybe at the end, say this is what we do, we've exceeded your expectations, are you happy? And you can ask that, are you happy with what we've done, we exceeded your expectations, this. All right, from here, the next step is we need 3, 4, 5. The more you ask, the more you'll get referrals that will be part of our business. And some businesses are just referral based. That's all they do. If they're not referred, you don't do business with them. Now, I'm not recommending that up front. It depends on your type of business, what you do. Number five, simplify. Because they're like, oh, I'll think about it. I'll do it. I'll contact them. They mean to, but how can you simplify it to where, all right, let's call them right now. Is that okay? You don't want to be too aggressive, too pushy here, but can we call them right now? Can we text them right now? Can we email them right now before both of us forget? And we're both busy people. Just make it simple, because if you just leave it on their plate, it probably won't get done. They meant to, but life's busy. Things happen. And this is not going to be a priority for them, so simplify it. If we do that before we both forget, again, not an aggressive, in-your-face, pushy manner, but say, hey, wow, we're both busy, and this sounds like it's going to really help Mr. X, Mrs. Y, whatever it is. Simplify, simplify, make it easy, make it quick. That is a key to referrals. Number six, connectivity. Another law of persuasion. We talked about this. The more people like you, the more they're willing to do for you. You solve the problem, solve the issue, and they like you as a person. You're a likable person. All right, giddy up. This is good. That's part of referrals. And so during the process, become more likable. If you're not sure where, go back and review connectivity, being likable, building rapport. But that does increase referrals, because nobody wants to refer a negative, mean, pessimistic Aunt Edna type person. We've talked about Aunt Edna. She's that person in your family, because every family has one, that you sit next to her, don't even talk to her, and she sucks the life out of you. You tell her about your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, shoots holes in them, she spits on your dreams. You don't want to be that person. You want to be a person that brings people up, gives people hope, solves their problems. You're optimistic. Not the false optimism that the world is great, everything is perfect, but hey, we'll get there. We'll make this happen. That's going to make a big difference. So learn to connect all the way through. And once you've made that connection, they are more likely to give you a referral. Number seven, build the trust. Show them that you are the expert, that you're the best at what you do. We know that trust is an all-time low. So build the trust, because when they trust you, just like connectivity, they're more likely to refer you to people. And the biggest piece there is that credibility piece, your competence piece. Are you the expert? And you're like, well, yes, I am. Well, did you come across that way? I mean, expertise can come across in your mannerisms, in the way you word an email, the way you give a presentation, the way you talk to people. But when you're the expert, there's very little persuasion resistance. They're more likely to refer people to you. So have you solved the problem? Have you taught them something new? Have you changed their lives? That's the keys to credibility. Off the charts trust tool. The most important is your credibility. That's your history together, one-on-one with your company, organization, with the industry. Credibility is huge. Have you built it? Do they trust you? Are you the expert? Have you earned it? Doesn't matter if you are the smartest, brightest, most expertest, I know it's not a word, person. Did you come across that way? Have they accepted it? Just because you are does not mean they accepted it. So when you're the expert, you can act that way, not in an arrogant way. You're the best at what you do. Referrals become easy. Number 8, offer incentives. Careful here, because once you start this, there's no going back. But is it worth it to you to offer a reward, an incentive, a little something, something, a 10% off their next purchase? Is it reward? Is it cash back? Is it a product? Is it a service? Is it a hug? Whatever it is, you can offer incentives. Again, be careful, because once you offer an incentive, it becomes an expectation. And it might be worth it to you to give people 10% off, to give them a little something, something every time they refer somebody. And it could be cash. It depends on your industry, your country, and the laws. But there are certain things that you can do when you provide incentives. Now, here's the downside. Again, anytime you reward somebody, it becomes an expectation. When you do cash back, when you do end-of-the-year bonuses, when you give the kids in school pizza for reading, when you compensate students for playing a puzzle, then they don't want to do it. In fact, that study was done with college students. They gave them this fun little puzzle. They just loved playing with it, and they would just do it. But once you paid them to play with it, then they wouldn't play with it unless you paid them. So be very careful. Quick, fast, easy incentive reward can work really well, but it can backfire when it becomes an expectation. So you have to take a look. It's what are you willing to give? Again, maybe 10% off for a referral, 10% off their next purchase. Maybe it's a free coaching session. Maybe it's an upgrade. Maybe it's a little something, something. You can do this, but then again, you got to be very careful. So it's fast, quick, and easy, but you got to gauge if you're going to do this, because once you do it, it's going to become an expectations for life when people give referrals without it, but maybe they'll give you more referrals with it. Number 9, I call it chatter, staying visible, staying in people's minds. They're like, oh yeah. So if they're not ready to give you a referral, maybe you're sending a weekly, monthly email to your peeps just to stay on their radar. Maybe you're staying in contact with them once every 6 months. You're sending a text, you're sending an email, you're saying hi, you're saying happy birthday. And that's true with any of your contacts. Just because they're a contact doesn't mean they're going to remember you. You need to do something at least every 6 months, maybe again, monthly email. Not just an email like, hey, give me money. It's an email that gives value, that teaches them something, that proves that you're the expert, that they just stay on their radar. So stay visible. Stay on their radar. Let me give you an example. I was talking to this guy. He was kind of upset. We were doing lunch, and I'm like, what's up? What's wrong? He's like, oh, not a big deal. I'm like, come on, tell me. What's wrong here? He was a real estate agent, and one of his best friends had gone with another real estate agent. You know, it kind of hurt his feelings because he felt he was pretty good at what he did. He's one of the best at what he did. And his best friend, as he thought was his best friend, went with another real estate agent. He's like, I'm like, you can't just let this go. This is like festering inside you. You got to talk to them. A few weeks later, I talked to him. I'm like, what happened? What's going on? He's like, hey, you know, I'm really hurt. I'm a real estate agent. You didn't go with me. You went with so-and-so. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. You are. I forgot. So you're not always on people's minds, always thinking about you. You got to stay visible. You got to stay on the radar. Again, it could be an email. It could be a text. It could be a happy birthday. It could be congratulations, your team won. It could be something on LinkedIn, something on social media. It could be face-to-face, doing lunch. Stay on the radar. That will increase your referrals. Number 10, provide exceptional customer service. You're there, they're the customer. Now, we know in sales, we know in business, the easiest person to sell is the person you've done business with. So do everything right, follow up, are they happy? That way, they're more willing to give you a referral. So if they say no up front, but you do great customer service, you do what you say, you have the information they need, you've exceeded their expectations, you're doing more than they ask, you're following up, are they happy? What more you can provide? Can you provide more than they feel like they've paid for is all part of this process. And when you do that, they're more likely to provide referrals. It could be 6 months down the road, but you got to be really good at the customer service. They're happy. They know what you've done. That is one of the keys to get the referrals and to keep a customer. Remember, the best customer is the easiest sell. Existing customer that you've worked with, that you've exceeded expectations, that you had exceptional customer service, they're the ones that will buy more and recommend people to you. There you have it. That's a wrap. All the links, everything we talked about, from the studies to advanced education to influenceuniversity.com, can be found under podcast 508. Check us out at maximizeyourinfluence.com. Make sure you've taken your persuasion IQ assessment. It's free. See where you rank. Help me out by research. So remember today, play the game of negotiation, increase your sense of humor, and do business based on referrals. Make it happen, become more influential, and go out and persuade with power.